Mr. Cauldron, Reel 3. We're talking about your time at Oswestry, and we were looking at sort of recreations and things. Now, sometimes you were on guard and fire picket duty. Can we look at those? What would guard duty be?
Well, guard duty is the same ceremonial guard like you see anywhere in the pictures. He was picked out, I think he worked out roughly about once every 3 weeks. And you had to be dressed spick and span in every shape or form, examined before you even went onto the changing over of the guards, and any that wasn't was sent back. But they still did the guard duty, they had to come back spick and span. But anyway, eventually on the guard, there was a guard room with a couple of cells there, and a veranda outside, which you marched up and down when it was raining. Outside, otherwise, and you challenged everybody that come near you, all to go there. I mean, the officers, you got the challenge, whether or not, and if you saw people coming, they just knew for a laugh. You didn't, of course, but the officers would be the officer on duty, and the sergeant of the guard, he was always there, and he made sure that you were on top, because he always had two NCOs with him. When he was asleep, one of the other NCOs was there, the bombardiers. And you sat with all your kit on when you wasn't on duty. You did two on, four off. And you marched up and down the veranda, as I say, outside when it was fine, because it was on the veranda. Everyone you sat could hear you. Your feet, left, right, stop, turn, back, turn. But you'll have to stop and stand for so long. You know, stop. In daylight, you stood with your arms properly, but at night, you brought your arms to the floor and you stand at ease. But in daytime, you never stood at ease, if you never knew who was watching. I mean, they want to last at ease. But anyway, you never got undressed. You just relieved your belts and everything, never took your shoes off, just took your hat off. And we played cards and whatnot until it was time to go to sleep. And when it was time to go to sleep, the sergeant was asleep. And you were those that went on actual duty. And when he was asleep, one of his NCOs, the other NCO, was there. Because you never knew when the officer or the officer was coming around. They came around every night, but they never came at the same time. So none of his NCOs knew. None of us knew when they were coming. And didn't always come in the front way, neither.
And what about fire drill?
It was not quite as regimental as that. You met in one particular spot, had all the instructions, and you designated which part of the barracks you went in case of fire. And you had to report, I think it was every 2 hours, to that same spot, but you had to go back to your own barrack room, and you weren't dressed. You weren't dressed in battle or something like that. They still had to be hat on in guests. You could always reported at that particular place every 2 hours until it was dark. And then after dark, you were allowed to go to bed. But you'd be vigilant. If the firebell went, you would make sure they heard it. Or somebody heard it in the fire room, of course. But of course, the firebell never went unless there was a fire. Because you couldn't have false alarms in the barracks at night or anything like that. You've got to be a proper alarm.
Now, what about, did you have a weekly inspection of the barrack room and your kit
weekly
from the officers?
Weekly inspection by the officer, definitely weekly. Daily by the sergeant in charge.
How strict were those inspections?
Oh, they're always strict. I mean, your kit had got to be folded and to the same way every time, to the same, try and get it equally everyone, because there was always some, no matter how they tried, they couldn't fold, say, a pair of trousers, or they couldn't polish. I could never polish shoes like some. One thing I could never do is make my shoes size so I could see my face in them. And the same with some lads could never fold the shirts like anybody else. But that was overlooked. As long as you were nicely folded and neat, our sergeant overlooked it. But it's got to be as best as ever we could when the officer did. and the officer invariably did his parade, did his inspection before pay parade. Now whether that was a threat that he won't get the pay, I don't know, but it was always on a Friday morning before pay parade.
So that's well. What about pay parade? What was that like?
Well, it was all the squads were brought onto the square one at a time. We weren't all on the square together, only one squad at a time, and when it was fine, of course. And the officer was sat at a table, ordinary classical table, with his pay clerk at the side of him. Pay clerk at both sides of him, if I remember. There were always two or three on the table. And he was in the middle, and of course he was the one yet slew. And one shouted your name out. S Squadron, 1518693. Because you went to the table, smartly, and shouted your name out. 1518693, and hold your hand out. And my 6 and 6 pence, we put him in for the first 3 months because 6 pence went up for barrack room damages. That was my pay for the first 3 months because my mother had the other 7 shillings. I was allocated in right.
And what would you spend your 7 bob on or what?
Well, cigarettes were cheap.
Did you smoke?
I didn't smoke much. I didn't smoke much at all. And because we had cigarettes sent. Because invariably sometimes there were no cigarettes in canteen because they were scarce. I know it's buy sweets, anything like that, because we won't eat as many sweets. And in fact, you had sweets sent you. Your relatives always sent you sweets. Because they couldn't send you clothes, anything like that. And they couldn't send you clothes unless your mother knew about what they were sending and so yeah. Girlfriend. But anyway, I say, my money was allocated to make sure I got terms to go to dance. Penny pop train, for the train was a penny, if I remember right, to Oslissey, and back to Alt, another penny. And of course, if you had the money, you walked it to town. But otherwise, I don't know. It was looked after anyway. It was really for next payday when it came.
Well, did you have any special pal, you know, after you'd been there a while? Did you make any special friends? Or
not really, because I moved around quite a bit from place to place. Some might have kept the same pals. But I had a couple of pals while I was there, and one was a lad that lived in Gloucester. Now he's saying where he used to be. He lives at a place called Gloucester. Oh dear, I believe that. He lived in a place just outside Gloucester anyway. And there was a place, same name, in Australia. Because he always say his letters used to go to Australia before they come back to him. So I think a place outside Gloucester. And he was a Gloucester lad, he was. He was a Gloucester lad.
So he was your best pal?
He was a pal. But there was nobody went dancing out of my group. So if I went to town, if I went to pictures, I went with somebody else. If I went to dance, I was by myself. But I knew one or two of like some other squads that used to dance. Because the sergeant, he was sergeant of the squad. But he always went with his wife, because I think he got a drink. He used to get a drink from somewhere. He always seemed to have something in a glass that was a bit stronger than lemonade. Whether he went there or not, but anyway, he went there because he liked seeing him dancing. Look after his wife as well, probably, as well. I don't know. But anyway, all I remember is his wife was a lovely dancer.
Now, you'd be there at Christmas, weren't you?
Yeah, there at Christmas.
Were there any Christmas celebrations in the camp?
Oh, yes. I've got photographs. Still got photographs until 1939. Christmas, 1939. I'm taken outside the canteen with our sergeant. Outside the dining room, with our sergeant, with an orange in my hand. I think I've got a mince pie in my hand that we hadn't happened to eat. And the menu. And the menu was signed by all the lads in the squad, plus the sergeant and one or two more. I've still got that to this day. It's in that. It got pulled up once or twice, but I've had to stick it together. But anyway, it's still in one piece. And you can read all the signatures.
So how?
Incidentally, we weren't allowed to go home at Christmas because Christmas was left for civilians to travel because they couldn't travel much, and they didn't allow us to travel home at holiday time to block the railway for people that were wanted some rest from work. I mean, that's a good thing, really. We went on leave fortnight after Christmas, and that was my first leave.
And you went home?
Went home, yes.
Now,
been a party at home and everything.
Now, what about the one thing we haven't mentioned? I should have perhaps asked. When you were doing your training on the guns, did you have any training in searchlight as well?
No, not there. We did later, but not there.
Right. So, what happened next then?
Well, when we came back off leave, it was our time. Time come along soon after to go to the firing camp. That's the firing line. Five shells.
Because you hadn't done any of that up to then.
Not any of that there. None there because of loud. So I went to a place called... what was it called?
Towin.
There's two Towins. One's near... Well, I don't know that way, but it wasn't this one. Corrigan Bay. Towin, that one. You see Prince Captain across the bay. I remember that because... Two Scooties, your friends at Godram, and one lived at Prestatyn. I often wondered where it was, I found it then. Sorry.
Now, was it a camp, an actual camp, or were you in billets?
No, it was an actual camp. It was all in private billets on the promenade. It was in winter, or you guess, January, February, damn cold, and everything was flowing up half the time. But it was in big houses, what used to be tourist houses, boarding houses. They're all empty, and all we were all in there, and the camp was behind us because I think the cliff was behind us. It was on top of the cliffs there. So, yeah. I've never been back there since. I still have to go back to my daughter one day. And we had practice runs without any ammunition, with a plane. We had practice runs at night with a plane.
Now, what was the plane doing?
Well, the plane was just flying across the sky. Or practice runs without ammunition.
So you'd practice getting the height and,
yes,
and the angles.
Right down to the thing where they're going to set where the instrument on the guns ordered to fire, which they went through. The gunners went through the process of firing. He even put the empty shells in and dropped them back out again without firing because they were dummy heads. And then one day come along, firing practice today, and. On the cliff edge. But we're all set up and all waiting for the plane to come in. It wasn't the plane, it was a plane to win the target. Long streamer behind him. And we felt sorry for the bloke. So how we could have kept shells away from the plane, I don't know. But we did hear later that the plane was automatic pilot. Nobody in it. That's what it couldn't be, could it, in them days? Later on, but not in them days. So the stream must have been a long way behind him, but of course, first off, we were getting on the blinking plane, but somebody must have seen that we were on the plane, must have seen our images. There must have been, could have been a separate image on the eye finders, because only eye finders could see the plane. So we were told, get off the plane, you don't get on the target, so to speak. So we moved but anyway,
And how accurate were you, would you say?
Well, we never know. We never know where the shell went. Because there were no explosions on the shell, I don't think. It could have been, couldn't it? Because we were over at sea. We were over at sea, and there were no ships allowed in that area when we were firing. So there'd be shells that didn't explode.
So you wouldn't know how accurate you were then?
We didn't know how accurate we were. That's probably the reason. Because I don't remember any shell burst anywhere near the target.
Did you fire much?
So I bet the shell. How many did we fire each? I think each time we went on, I think we fired about 8 shells and went on 2 or 3 days. Because eventually we were told where we went wrong and went on again, you see, to put the things right.
What had you been doing wrong?
Well, I have forgotten what we were doing wrong. Probably they'd estimated the predicted probably estimated a lower angle or a higher angle because somebody could see where the shells were going. Must have done. They probably can't hold it. Hold it bad enough to come down. So I never remember any shell bursts, apart from the thing. The guns burst, but not the shell bursts.
What did you think of the noise of the gun? Did, I mean,
terrific.
Was it worse?
Anyway, that was the last I was on the guns for many, many months.
So, what were you doing during that? Were you actually on the height
fire? I was on the height fire, yes.
So you weren't on the gun crew?
I wasn't on the gun crew itself.
But you were near it?
We were near it, and we had to put earmuffs, of course.
Now, you had to go home early from that. What happened then?
Well, I was sent for to report back to Oswestry.
During the course?
During the course.
What course?
And then when I got to Oswestry, I was sent home on leave because I got a posting. But they won't tell me posting until I come back off leave. So I went home on 7 days leave, came back. Oh no, I didn't come back. I finished up in hospital. I got flu. And, I was really ill. I think it must have been pneumonia I got. I went home as usual. When I get home, the wife, as far as I know, she was at work. Her mother's out, my parents were out, door locked, couldn't get in. Went down to wife's, nobody there. I'd left my kit bag in the toilet and whatnot. Went to my auntie's down that way, nobody in there. Went to my auntie's that lived next door, one, nobody in there. Went to Saturday afternoon, by the way. So I guess my mother and dad were at football match because they were football supporters. Rotherham, Sheffield. Whoever were at home, they went. Sometimes they went to away matches, but they were ardent football supporters, both my mother and my dad. Anyway, I went down to wife's home, and I knew mother wouldn't be in before 9 o'clock, because Marcus and Shofton closed at 9 o'clock in those days. And when she went out on a Saturday, she went out to Marcus and Shofton, went with her friend, another widow, and then come home about 9 o'clock. So I finished up, I come back home, and my cousin was in next door one with his girlfriend. Of course, he put a cup of tea on for me and some buns or something. Of course, I didn't want to stop there because he was living with his girlfriend. So I said, well, I'll go back down to my auntie to see if they're in. And they were in. So I stopped down there for a little while, and they said they'd gone to a match somewhere, mother and dad. But she says they were coming, they weren't going round Sheffield, they were going to come home. So they'll be home any time now. But I went back to my mother's, I think, about 6 or 7 o'clock. And they were in. And there I stayed, and by then I was feeling a bit rough. You better sit down and have a aspirin or something. So I did, and I said, I must go down and see if Doris is in. So she'll be mad if I'm home and she's not. And she's not in. And the way she worked, the way she worked, she worked on the buses. She was a clippy on the buses.
This is your girlfriend, to be wife, yeah?
The wife, yes. Doris is the wife. With the girlfriend then. So, I said, don't go yet, because if she's at work, she'll not be in before 10 or 11 o'clock. I said, if mother's out, she'll not be in before 9 or 9:30, so I went down at 9:30, and there's still nobody in. So I came back home, and I was feeling a bit really rough then, so I said, you're not going to have to get tonight. So I was in bed about 11 o'clock, and I was still a bit rough next day, but I still went down next day to see where my girlfriend was, and I walked in. And she got her hair in curlers, because I know she always got bath on the Saturday, because it was usual bath on the half in them days. She got bath on a Sunday, and she'd been bath, her hair in curlers, and I walked in, and a top was missing. She got a bride, I think, but a top was missing, and I got right trouble by turning up unacclaimed, and she dashed upstairs, of course, come back down then. Where have you been? When did you come? This was last night. Where have you been till now? This was dinner time. Must have been for a walk, so I know you won't get up before 11 or 12 o'clock if you're off on a Sunday, if you're off work. I mean, when you look early at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I said, you don't get the phone on Sunday morning if you're not working, so it's noise coming. I said, if I come, where would you? What time you got up today? I said, she says, 11:30. I said, there you are. Well, you could have knocked me up. Anyway, I got a real row, because I'd been with my brother and his wife and walk up the road. But anyway, also we went over. So I says, are you coming up for tea? That's because we're going down to my grandma's at Kilnest. We used to go down there every time I came on leave. Oh yes, yes, so she came up for tea, we had tea. The other brother was in the Durham's, he wasn't in then. Him and his wife, four of us, my mother and dad, walked down to Kilnest, which is a massive 3 miles walk. All the time I was getting worse and worse. We called in this pub, which he always called in this pub before we went to grandma's. I didn't have nothing, I just had a lemonade or something, or orange juice or something. And when I get to my grandma's, my mother and dad got into hot water for getting me drunk. But I wasn't drunk, I was really ill, getting ill then. So we could just stay short at Kilnest, walk back home. The next day, my brother was in the territorials, he was stationed in Rotherham at the time. My mother contacted him somehow, got him to get their MO from barracks. Came, right, with me downstairs in ambulance to barracks. And I spent flooring that day on flooring barracks till the doctor could examine me properly and then went me to hospital. I was in hospital 3 weeks.
So it probably was pneumonia then?
It probably was pneumonia, yes. And that particular ward in the hospital was solely for soldiers that were all around the area. And of course, whilst there's the tell him you're ill every day, come. So he can't stop feeling a bit longer. Anyway, it was good that. And of course, I was a lot better after the first week. But I mean, I wasn't going to stress to be thrown out. So let the MO do that in his due course. Well, it wasn't MO, it was just the wind doctor. The end of that in the due course, especially if they want beds. So I was there 3 weeks. And passing me time on reading books at White. Because in those days, you could only visit hospitals at certain times, and only once a day. Not like that, all open door now, isn't it? And we got a bit of leeway with the Foster's Ward. I was sat on bed doing something with one wife watching because she was working. She'd asked to come in because she couldn't come later because you were working on buses. And I was down in socks, but they weren't mine. They were sisters. They were sisters. And I got socks all over the bed. Down in socks. I was down in nurses blinking socks. I wasn't going to stop water with wife then. Anyway, it's just one of those objects of being in hospital, being looked after.
So then, after you got better, you went back to hospital?
They gave me a fortnight's leave from there. And that date is in the paper book to this day. It's still in my paper book. And I went back to Osmestry, and of course I went normal barrack room. I still went to the same barrack room, and I was told to report to office.
Where were F squad? They come back.
Well,
from
they were, I never saw them more of F squad at all.
F
squad. I never know where they went to at all, because I went to the office, and I wanted to know where I was going to report and all this. Why I was sent back for? Well. The sergeant in our, who was in charge of the back room I was in, didn't know. So I said, you better find out at office. So I went to office, asked the clerk, the NCO, the clerk, and he looked it up. Oh, it was a posting as a height finder at some regiment. I said, that's been filled and gone, sir. It's too late. It's been filled and gone. So he says, but don't worry, he says, there's already a posting in pipeline for you. And which he did come up about a fortnight later. And I went to the 88th Heavy Attack Regiment, which was Lloyds of London Regiment. 88th Lloyds of London Regiment.
Now, just before we go on to that, while you were there, the Dunkirk thing had happened.
That's right.
That because I noticed in your...
Yes, Dunkirk happened. Well, that fortnight I was there, all the Dunkirk people were being brought in the camp, straight from Dover and that place, straight up Wild camp.
That's early June then?
That's early, yes. That was early, yes.
And what state were they in?
Oh, they were in a state, like you saw on the pictures, dressed in anything, still wrapped in blankets and things off the train, because, I mean, the train, they come right to the halt, you see, the train. Most of them, some came in ambulances, of course, but most of them came to the halt because the train was right on the doorstep. And they come straight up from Dover and that on the coast roads, coast and port, dressed in anything. I think what they landed out at was, some had got dried and everything. But they've got to get them away from the ports, haven't they?
What was
expecting it with the follow.
What was their morale like?
Well, they were just got to get back out of it and back to get to rest. And because of that, quite a few nights, no sleep, haven't they? They were passing for a week at least.
Were you sympathetic to them?
Oh, yes, we looked after them. We looked after them, we watched them, because some of them were too shattered to actually watch themselves. And then we had to go and get kit for them. We had to take the sizes, the rest of the sizes, because we didn't want them queuing up at quartermaster stores in their state. So we helped them all ways we could. And we were glad to see them all.
I mean, I don't think this, but some people were going around saying they were Dunkirk runners and things like that. Did you hear anything like that in your camp, or was there anybody take the mickey out of them at all?
Well, if there was, I didn't know. If there was, I didn't know at all. I was one or two more lads. We thought they'd done well getting where they were, because I found out that's what that posting was. I would have been across there too late to get back.
What, the height finder post?
Height finder post. It was for to go on straight onto the boat. That's why I was sent on leave. Because that month, I missed all that. You see, that month I was away, I missed all that.
So, now you were posted, were you on your own when you were posted to the 88th?
By myself.
And were you posted as a height finder?
I don't know, I was posted. I was just posted as a gunner, that's all I knew. And I'm just trying to think, were you on the regiment?
In here it says you were at Hyde Park.
That's one of the places. I didn't join at Hyde Park, I don't think.
Was it in London, though?
It was in London I joined them. And I think it was Clapham Common, because when I joined them, I don't think I slept a night at Clapham Common. We moved from Clapham Common to Hyde Park.
And what guns did they have?
They were 3.7 mobile, just saying. Same as ours.
And what battery were you put in? How were they divided up? They were
in batteries, but I wasn't in the battery. I was RHQ all the time. That's when I joined RHQ, and I was stationed in the... They were in the park itself. I was in the boarding house with some more MT section just across the road, Hyde Park Street.
MT section. Were you sent to the MT
section? I was sent to the MT section. Now, that's when the mechanical features come in from the record, you see. And that's why they sent me to there.
So that was what your posting was. Were you pleased at that posting?
Well, I was quite pleased then when I got to know that. As soon as I got there, when I was put in MT section, because they knew I was coming, and that's why they kept me at MT section. And MT and HQ was at Clapham Common. There was no guns at place then. But when we moved to Hyde Park, the HQ was in Hyde Park, plus one battery of guns, and the other guns were scattered around London.
How many guns to a battery would there be?
Oh, I don't know. It was four to a battery.
And they were in the park?
And there was one battery of guns in the park at this end. There was another battery of guns at the far end of the park, and where the other two was far, where I don't know. I think one said was at Finsbury Park. And there could have been a set at Clapham Common.